All right, let's start. So Hector asked me, would you give an afternoon talk at the St. Joel's in your spare time? And I said, okay. And I said, what about? And they said, whatever's dearest to your heart. So I thought, oh, then I'll talk about Mama Chicken on the egg. And I'll explain what that means later. Okay. But this is dearest in my heart right now, this teaching right here. Then we're going to go through it fast, okay? I guess it would take 2 days to do it well. But we're going to do it a little bit faster, okay? We'll get to the mama chicken. So please look at the mama chicken. Be aware that she's staring at the egg and focusing on the egg. And then go to the next page. Okay. I selected two quotations. One is from the Yoga Sutra, and one is from fourth chapter of the Abhidhamma Kosha. Fourth chapter? Yeah. And the quotation from Master Patanjali in the Yoga Sutra says, Tadasankhyaya vasanabhishchitramapriparatam sahadya karitvat. Countless seeds within our minds make us see the great variety of things around us. The way it works is that they organize other parts in a certain way. So, this is talking about how we perceive the world. And those of you who care, it's partly in the Abhidhamma Kosha and partly in Pramanavartika, okay, by Master Dhammakirti. And the latter is very beautiful to study if you can. People call it a logic test, but it's not really logic, it's how do you perceive something. Like, when you see four round things and a flat thing, why do you see car? Why does your mind make car? Anybody know? I mean, they use ball in the scripture, but car is okay. Why, when you see four round things and one flat thing, do you think car? Why do you make a car out of that?
Habit.
You can say habit or... Yeah, it's a karmic seed, okay? It's a karmic seed going off in your mind. If you were born as a bug, you wouldn't see a car. You wouldn't see an insurmountable mountain. So it's just seeds going off in your mind. Your whole world consists of pieces, incoherent pieces. Last night we called it what? Clicks and wheezes. Okay. Clicks and wheezes. You know, we were just listening to the best music in the world, which is Neil Young, Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And if you hear it as exquisite, then that means your mind is organizing it into a beautiful song. And if you hear it as something you never heard of because it's too old, your mind organizes it into something you're not too familiar with, okay? It's either your favorite song or it's a song you haven't heard much. So which one is it really? It's both, okay? It just depends on who's listening, okay? And on the surface, you can think that comes from habit. Oh, I heard this song when I was 16, so I like it. Any song you heard when you were 16 or 17, you think it's the best music in the world, okay? That's not because of the song. Because any song that wasn't written when I was 16 is not the best music in the world. There must be something in your mind which is organizing that song into something beautiful, okay? And that's karma. So these two quotations, the one by Master Patanjali, it's saying countless seeds within our minds make us see the great variety of things around us. All the things, he calls chitram. Chitram means variety. In Tibetan, it's not song. And it means a tremendous variety of people, good music, bad music, tall people, short people, ugly cars, nice cars, tall buildings, short buildings. Okay? Your mind makes you see all those things. Okay? And how does it do that? And then Master Patanjali says, the way it works is that they organize other parts in a certain way. So the other parts, what's the other mean? It says artha, para artha. Para means other. What other? Why does he say other? Whose phone is he? Para means Other means like other than the thing you're looking at. Like cars, the thing you're looking at, the other parts are wheels. Okay, things like that. Your mind takes the world, which is disorganized, incoherent stuff. And your mind glues different things together. And different people glue together different things. Different minds glue together the world in different ways. Okay. Why are we talking about why does that matter? If you wanted to be happy or enlightened, you could learn how to design the seeds in your mind to glue things together in heavenly ways, in sacred ways. Okay? Could you change your mind? Could you change the seeds in your mind to purposely cause the mind to see everything as beautiful and as divine? Okay? Then you would live in a divine world. Okay? So right now, I don't know about you, my mind is, some things it's gluing together as very sacred and holy and beautiful, and some things it's gluing together as neutral stuff, and sometimes it's gluing together, you know, dumb things. I have a variety of different things, okay? And the idea is, could you purposely plant the seeds in your mind that would glue together the world into divine things, and then you would be in heaven. Okay, so we don't believe you. This is a different way of sliding into heaven. You don't have to go anywhere else. Okay, you don't have to. There is no other place where heaven is. People are like looking for Shangri-La, right? Shambhala. There's no other place. It's right here. But the people who are in heaven right here, their mind is gluing things together in a different way. What makes your mind glue things together in a different way is vasanas, like karmic seeds, okay? Seeds that you plant in your mind. So this document, I would call it a ticket to heaven. I think it's very important. I hate to see them lying around afterwards. You know, people don't leave their metro cards on the floor. This thing, they're like, oh, yeah, okay, I'll pick up another one, you know? This is a little more important than your metro card. This is like a metro card to the divine realm. Seriously, that's how I see this paper. And in here are all this secret, beautiful things to get a metro ticket to paradise, okay? Metro ticket? Metro pass?
Metro card.
It's different in every city. Okay. Metro card. So, then again, at the bottom there's a Tibetan quotation, which is a translation from the Sanskrit, which is Lele Jigten Natsuke. You guys heard that before. The first Le means karma, the second Le means from. Unfortunately, it's the same spelling. Lele means from karma. Jigten, what's Jigten? Loka, yeah, world, okay. Loka comes from a root loach, which comes from a root roach, and it means shining. Okay. Yeah.
Man.
Lucent comes from the lux, it's the Latin lux, so it's shining, and it means world because the world is seen in ancient times as a bright, luminous thing. Coming from your mind, a luminous image coming from the karmas in your mind. The world itself is called luminous image. Okay, loka, jikten, the Tibetan jikten. Natsok means chitra. What's chitra? Yeah, all different kinds. Okay, all different kinds. Natsok is the Tibetan translation. So, all the different, Master Vasubandhu puts it, all the different planets, all the different worlds are coming from seed in your mind. Okay? So not just the stuff in New York City, but all the different realms that there are, different worlds that there are all coming from New York City. I heard a cat passed away today, a couple hours ago. And if a cat's in this room, then they see this room in a whole different way, you know, completely different way. So you can say that a cat reality and a human reality are running parallel in this room, at the same time if there's a cat in this room. And then there are countless beings in different realms, in different levels of reality, right here in this room. There are countless different parallel universes going on in this room. But all of them were created by seeds in the minds of living creatures. Okay? Each one is created by the seeds of that creature. Why are we talking about that? The question is, could you learn to design those seeds? Could you learn to modify seeds? You know, could you get the seeds that you want? Could you plant the seeds that you want? And I always tell the story about, where was I? Morocco. You know, every 20 years, the newspapers decide one kind of people is bad. You know, when I was growing up, it was Germans. And then later it was Russians were bad, all bad. And then it was Arabs?
Americans.
Well, that's if you're in Spain.
I think you are in the rest of the world.
Yeah. I mean, every 20 years the newspaper decides this person's bad. Nowadays they're bashing Russia and China. They just decide to pick on something. NPR ran an interesting article, an interesting show called Why Do We Bash Russia? Huh. Why are we bashing Sochi? You know? And then they ran an article about themselves, which is kind of cool. You know? But then I think if you're a normal person and they say Arabs are bad, then I'm like, I don't know, I'm a really stubborn person, and then I'm like, I should go meet some Arabs and see if they're really bad, you know? And then I went to Morocco for 2 months and met the Arabs, and they, guess what? They have two arms, one head. They like their kids. They also want to eat. Basically, totally, completely the same as everybody else. Completely. No different at all. But I lived in a Riyadh for 2 months, which is an enclosed courtyard. And there's no windows to the outside because people aren't supposed to be able to see the ladies. But there are all windows to the inside, and that's how the light gets into the house. It's very beautiful. And then they had, my hosts had known, like, I don't know, 6 months ahead that I was coming. These terrible Arabs. Some of them were Taliban. And they planted the courtyard garden with vegetables that would go off every week that I was there. And they knew. So the first week, all the tomatoes opened. The second week, all the squashes came out. The third round, all the corn came out, and then all the grapes, and then it was apples, and then it was like, and I didn't have to go out. I was able to do a retreat for 2 months right there. So someone had the knowledge of how to plant at the right time each thing, so it would come up while Geshe Michael was in the Riyadh, and they would eat, you know, I could eat and it, without going out. And it was awesome. And the idea here is the same. Could you plant 2014 to be what you want? Is it possible to select seeds of what you want? Because everything's coming from seeds. According to these two quotations, one from the yoga tradition, one from the Buddhist tradition, everything's coming from seeds. So in theory, if you got skillful enough at mental seed farming, you could farm 2014 the way you want. Like a garden in a Riyadh. It would come up. 2014 would come up month by month the way you want it. Okay? That's the idea. And you know, I can sit here and explain to you how it works, and I will. But the way I thought to do it today, since it's sort of a small group and we have time, I thought we would actually do some planting. I thought each one of us could design a few things for 2014 that you would like to happen. Okay? So we're going to go on to this exercise. Next page. Then there are two kinds of causes, and I haven't really taught this much. That a lot of this is from Abhidhamma, which I haven't taught yet. My teacher taught to me for 12 years, and it'll be fun to teach it to you, okay? It's a big subject. After that, we should do logic. You know, real perceptual theory. That would, for another period or so. Okay. So here it says, Gyutin Gyudebu, and Naming Gyudebu. Say Gyutin.
Gyutin.
Ki.
Ki.
Devu.
Devu.
Naminki.
Naminki.
Devu.
Devu.
So this is an Abhidharma distinction. Abhidharma is a lower score. It's a little funky. It's like my old Volvo, my 1980 Volvo. Like it's a good solid car, but it's a little old fashioned. And it's kind of, some things are funky, like, you know, they don't quite work so well anymore after, how many years? 32 years. Anyway, don't pick on my Volvo. I was trying to figure out how to fix something on the Volvo, and I looked it up online, and this teenager was riding in, and he said, can anyone tell me how to ruin a Volvo? Because my parents gave me this Volvo, and it won't break. And then there were all these cute suggestions, like pour sugar in the gas tank. And people were trying to give suggestions on how to make it break. And it's hard to break a Volvo. And Abhidharma is like that. It's still pretty cool. It's very old, but pretty cool. So, Yutungi Dharma means... In this context, it means the things that you think cause something. Okay, the things that you think cause something. So I don't know. You're looking for a partner, right? You want to have a partner in your life. You don't have a partner, you want a partner in your life. And then Yutungi Dharma would be thinking, what are the immediate causes of a partner? It's some kind of meeting them, right? Like, you got to meet them. And it's kind of weird, in New York, there's, I don't know, how many million people passing each other all the time, but it's still kind of hard to meet somebody. I guess it's because nobody wants to stop. You know, I mean, you can bang into someone and drop their groceries and you can talk to them, but it's hard, you know. It's hard to meet somebody. So, I mean, there would be conventional ideas about how you can meet somebody, like, let's say I wanted to meet someone, I'd have to think of, where could I go that I could meet people who are sort of like-minded people? When we do our retreats, and we do debriefs, and we do pluses and minuses, we ask people, what did you, this comes from Don Foley, what did you like about the retreat, and what do you think we should improve? And the like about the retreat is very often, I can meet like-minded people. I can meet people who think like me here, right? And that's, because, you know, we're kind of weird people, so to meet other people who are as weird, or weird in the same way, you would think, oh, I'll go to the Three Jewels, or I'll go to a yoga class, or then I'll meet people who are sort of like me. Like, it's more likely that I'll meet a person there than at a VFW meeting, you know, or something like that. Like, you choose. You choose environments that, you choose places like Jivamukti Yoga, right? You're more likely to meet someone who's kind of spiritually minded there than at a nightclub or something like that. I mean, you just make choices in your life. You say, the odds of meeting someone at Jivamukti are better than meeting someone at a nightclub. Because the people at a nightclub in New York, there's pretty bad stuff going on. You know, and they're not going to be necessarily like-minded people. So that's a Yutungi Dharma. It means, Yutun means same type. Yutun means same type. Okay. Dharma means a result. You're looking for, you think that if you went to Jivamukti Yoga or you went to Three Jewels and you met somebody, it's more likely that they would be spiritually minded, or what do you call it? Their awareness, consciousness. They'd be more conscious people. You think that. And that kind of approach is, according to this thinking, is wrong. Okay? That kind of approach is wrong. Alright? It doesn't work that way. Life doesn't work that way. Lots of people, you know, who's that guy in Switzerland? His name is, I forget, Hiro or something. He has a Japanese name, but he's German. And his wife is this American Japanese lady. And I asked them, I went to see them, and we were in Zurich. We gave a talk to some bankers. So he's a very successful investment banker. And I said, you know, how did you meet your Japanese-American wife? You're like German, you know. And he said, you know, my company is very successful, and we were sponsoring an art exhibit at the Guggenheim or something like that. And so I went to the Guggenheim. And then... I got in line. It was crowded. I got in line. And people were getting their tickets at the door, and I got stuck in line. And then there's this really cute girl in front of me, you know, and I'm like checking her out, you know, thinking, oh, she's really cute. And then his company was sponsoring the exhibition, so he had extra tickets, you know. So he's like taps from the show, you know. You don't have to buy a ticket, you know. I have extra tickets. It's actually my company's actually sponsoring the exhibition. You know, she turns around, she says, "Well, you know, I'm the director of the Guggenheim, but let's go through together anyway." And that's how they met each other, like that. I mean, in actual practice, how you meet the person that you hook up with can be pretty random. It can be it's not like odds, or it's not like likelihood. It's not due to me dubu. In other words, stuff doesn't work off of the apparent causes. Yutun Yudevu is apparent causes. Apparently, it's more likely to meet a person at Jivamukti than it is to meet a person in line at the Guggenheim. Okay? But if you have a Namen Yudevu, Namen means a karmic result, okay? A result of karma. Then if you have a Namen Yudevu, you're going to meet them wherever you go. It doesn't matter. Plant the Namen Yudevu, plant the Namen Yudevu, plant the karmic cause, and it doesn't matter where you go. Some woman challenged me, "You say it doesn't matter where I go." I said, "That's correct." She said, "So I'm going to plant a Namen Yudevu and I'm going to stay at home and lock the door." And I said, "Okay, go ahead, try." And she did. It was in the East Village. It was near here. And she planted the correct karmic seeds to meet her partner. Then she locked the door. And she sat there. This guy knocked at the door. I swear to God. And then we became partners for like a long time. He was, really.
Was he the plumber?
No, he was just... It's weird though. Like, Harrison Ford. He was a carpenter in Hollywood. He was a cabinet maker. And someone was looking for an actor for some movie. And he was in the kitchen, and they were having a meeting at the kitchen table trying to look for an actor. And then somebody turned around and said, "You know, we want him to look like that." And then somebody said, "Well, maybe he'll do it." You know, and then that was it. He became a Hollywood star. He didn't go to acting school. Maybe that explains his acting, but... but anyway... So now you see that what is the it's not my main thing today, but what is the problem with this Abhidhamma system? You tell me. It says, rather than looking at Jivamukti from Gyutungi Gyu, more likely environment to meet the person you want, rather you should try a karmic cause. Why is that thinking defective, actually?
Jivamukti is a karmic cause.
Yeah, the creation of Jivamukti was also created by your karma. Okay? If you meet someone at Jivamukti because you're looking for a similar person, that's also coming from the second kind of cause. It's not kind of, there is no difference between the two causes. Got it? Mm-hmm. That's why Abhidharma is a little bit Volvo-ish. Okay? It doesn't. If you meet someone at Jivamukti, it's not because it was a similar environment to what you wanted. It was because you had a karmic cause. And the karmic cause also created Jivamukti in the first place. So there shouldn't be two kinds of causes. But it helps us to think about it, right? It helps us to think about it. I shouldn't go around adjusting my clothes or my lipstick, or I shouldn't, you know, look for places where I'll be more likely to meet somebody. I should just plant the cause, the karmic cause. And then wherever I go, I'm going to meet them, even if it's in the line of the Guggenheim. Okay? Got it? So this whole exercise today that I want to do together with you, it's sort of an experiential teaching. I want you to pick something you want in 2014. And I'm going to pick something I want, because I'm always too busy teaching this to do it. And then... let's pick something we want for 2014. And then let's discuss how to plant the right causes, okay? All right, here we go, more. So I wrote here the four Starbucks steps. I don't know what page it is. Yeah, it's on page three. Okay? And I have a picture there of the person who wrote the Abhidharma Kosha, who is Master Vasubandhu, which in Tibetan is Nick. What's it say at the bottom there in the right hand? Yik-yin. See, Yik-yin. Yik-yin.
Yik-yin.
Okay, Vasubandhu. Okay, in Tibetan. So this is a carving of Master Vasubandhu from Tibet. And he wrote the Abhidharma Kosha. He made the distinction between the two causes. By the way, just to those of you who care historically, why did he write the Abhidharma Kosha?
He collected all the core pieces of scripture that were the sutras that were all over the place and put them in one treasure house in one place.
Yeah, there were older books like Maudalyayana, which is the Mogalpipu in the Heart Sutra, had written seven books on Abhidharma. And then he collated them all. But do you know why? Who's his half brother?
Master
Sangha. Master Sangha got turned on to Mahayana, higher way. And then Vasubandhu criticized him and said he had sold out to this new movement in 350 AD. And then later he realized that the Mahayana was correct and that what he had been following was incorrect. But he had criticized Arya Sangha. So he asked his half-brother, what can I do as a shakpa? What's shakpa? Yeah, how can I purify this karma of criticizing you and criticizing the Mahayana, the higher way? And his brother said, I think you should write a collection of what you used to believe so that someone has a good record of this lower school. You should write a good version of this lower school, okay? But every time there's something a little strange, you should put the words, they say. Okay? Which in Tibetan is, do you know? Ser, Lotong Ser. And you'll see it all through the Abhidharma Kosha. Every few lines, there's a thing that's ser. It means they say. Okay, so he didn't actually. Then there's a debate: was he an Abhidharmist or not? He's. What would you say? He wasn't. By the end, he wasn't. But he wrote it as an act of penance for criticizing his brother. Okay. Anyway, he said there are four steps to planting a karmic seed. Most of you know them. I'm going to ask you to write them down on page 3, and I'll give them to you quickly. But we have to move quickly through this class because we're trying to cover like 10 years of stuff in 2 hours, 2.5 hours. We'll take a break in the middle, okay? So have hope. Is it comfortable? The temperature's okay? Good? Step number one, okay? You should write it down. Step number one, decide what you want for 2014, okay? So just write down, decide what you want. And I suggest you choose one thing. Why? You can focus on getting it. And then secondly, this can be an experiment for the rest of your life. This can be a trial run. You try out the four steps from Vasubandhu. You try them on. See if they work. Okay? See if they work. If they work, use the four steps for everything else for the rest of your life. You know, if they don't work, just throw the paper out, get a metal card. Okay. But you know, the lamas always say, concentrate on one thing. Like, pick one goal for 2014. Okay. Secondly, in this system, you must make a plan of how you are going to supply something similar to someone else. Who, where, and when will you help somebody else to get the same sort of thing? Okay. Who, where, and when will you help someone else who wants the same thing? Make a plan. So step number two is done in your mind at home, on your thinking, the place where you think the best. Mind has a big hole in the chair. Okay. Because the only place I can be in peace, you know. I don't take the phone in there, I lock it down. and I can think, you know. Okay, so make a plan. Then, for example, let's say you want to meet a partner. Let's say you didn't have a partner. You want to meet a nice new partner. So the number one would be what? I want to meet a partner. Okay. Number two would be, I will find a lonely person, for example, in a nursing home. Okay? I will choose one, and I will take them out once a week, or once every 2 weeks. I have my old lady. I've had her for 20 years. And Nick's trying to steal her. But it's not going to work. You just get your own. Okay? And I take her, you know, I take her out, and we go to all kinds of cool places. I took her to the Ranch House Grill for breakfast. She ate a pancake this big, I'm not kidding. And, you know, she just is happy to go out with somebody. You see what I mean? So step number two is make a plan. I'll take her out to breakfast every other Friday. I suggest every other week on a Friday for half an hour or 45 minutes. Take somebody. A Starbucks is a very, very, very good place. And that's why I call this the Starbucks step. Starbucks is a good place because I feel like it's neutral. It's a neutral place. You know, everyone feels comfortable at Starbucks, I think. Most people. It's not like, okay, you're not most people. But you don't invite them to your home because it's not their turf. And you don't go to their home because that's their turf. So you try to find a neutral meeting place. It could be the Bean, okay, if you prefer. We went there today. The Bean was pretty cool. You played good music, right, Billy? My music. Then he showed me his music. He showed me a small concert in Beijing. Of 200,000 kids at a rock concert. Anyway, so you can choose a time, choose a place. I suggest every other week. If you can do every week, it's fine. I don't have time. I don't have time to take her out every week. And you shouldn't make some plan that you can't do. Okay? Every other week, I will take her out. Birds, squirrels, wild animals, and old ladies like regularity. If you're going to feed them, do it at the same time. You know, like my birds expect the sunflower seeds at 6 a.m. or whatever. There's a time of day. They want it at the same time. In three-year retreat, I had two bunnies. And they would come in. They had to have it exactly the same time because they liked that. I had a woodpecker, and they would come every night. Exact. You could set your clock. They would come at 6:12, and you could set your clock by it. All year. They would come at exactly the same minute. And so old ladies like to know you're going to be there on Friday at 3:00. You know, not 4, not 2, and you're going to stay for 45 minutes. Then they feel happy. So make a plan. That's number two. In the creation of a karma, a plan is everything, because intention is the main power of the karma. So number two is very important. Number three is what?
Do it.
Yeah, okay, just do it, like Nike says, you know, just do it. Take her out to the Starbucks. Do you get karma if you make a plan and don't execute it? Yes, you get some karma. You will have a boyfriend or girlfriend who will make dates with you and not come. That would be the karma. At least you have a boyfriend. He just doesn't come. I'd say you have to execute. I'd say you'd rather execute. I'd rather have him show up. I'd rather have her show up. That's number three. Number four is also crucial. What's number four? Yeah, I call it coffee meditation. And that's a long story. We don't have time to do it today, but my teacher taught me to drink tea or coffee just before I go to bed and think about the good karma I did. And today I'd like to concentrate mostly on coffee meditation, okay? It means you lay down on your bed and you think about the nice things you did today, and that does something to the karmic seed, very similar to mama chicken on the egg. Okay? Thinking as you fall off to sleep about a kindness you have done to someone today has an effect on that karma to make it open like an egg. Okay? Like if you have an egg and you sit on it. It's the same thing as if you have a naminki, you, karmic cause, vasana, seed, and you think about it as you fall off to sleep. Why that's true, how that works, we're going to talk about it today. I thought you'd like to know the mechanism. Because for me, since I didn't grow up in a country that believes in karma, everything I learn about karma gives me more faith in it. You know, if you explain to me how a karmic seed opens faster if I sit on it, mentally, then I'll be more likely to try, you know? And then I'll say, okay, I'll try. I'll try out your system. I'll try out your 4 steps, okay? For my number one thing in 2013. Okay, now, next page. Page 4. At the top. We're going to meditate. I'm going to take you through a meditation on the 4 steps. You ready? Put your paper aside. Please. Sit up straight. Hands can be old Tibetan style, which is left hand palm down, up first, right on top of me. Or it can be chin mudra on your thighs, okay, like this. Or if it's more comfortable like this, if your hands fall asleep, you might try between. Like that works pretty well. Okay. Personally, if I'm too warm, this makes me sleepy, and I do this. But if it's too cold, this makes me cold because air is going under here and then I put my hands like this. Okay. So you choose. Shoulders up. Drop. One more time. Up. Drop them. Push them back. Okay. Close your eyes. Loosen your face. Soften your face. Smile a little bit. It helps meditation. Not a big smile, not a Scott Vasek smile. Okay, just a little smile. Mona Lisa smile. Relax your forehead. You don't have to wink right now. Go into a meditation. The condition of your eyelids is very indicative of where your mind is at. If they are tight, if the muscles of your eyelids are tight, then you're not relaxed enough for meditation. Try to relax your eyelids and bring in your tummy slightly, which will lengthen your lower spine rather than kinking it. Prana will flow better. To get ready for meditation, please bring your mind to your breath. We will be doing a shangom. Shangom means a sort of a shopping list meditation. We're going to make a list. Number one on the list, mental list, is what is the one thing you would like to happen in 2014 in your personal life? What would you like to see? And I'll be quiet for a few minutes and let's all choose one. I'll choose one also. Choose one thing you'd like to see happen in your personal life in 2014.
Step number two. Can you select a single person that you know in your family or friends, your circle, co-workers, acquaintances? Is there someone who might want the same thing or a similar thing? Choose one person that you know who might want something very similar to what you want. Be specific. Then please choose a time and a place and a day this week when you will contact them and offer them help to get the thing they want. Still step number two. Plan. Step number three, we haven't done yet, we can't do it in our mind, but maybe imagine executing the plan, calling them, emailing them, sending someone to speak to them, and meeting them, or having someone meet them. And then step number four, imagine as you lay down tonight, you could just be happy about making the plan, for example. So practice now. Some kind of satisfaction that you have a program to follow for this year, to take care of something that you really want. Just feel happy about it. Please come back to your breath, watch your breath. and empties of the eyes. I'll tell you mine, and then if anyone wants to, you know, talk about theirs, that's nice. I'll ask one or two people. I'd like to see more harmony among the people around me, you know, like the people who I'm close to and spending a lot of time with. I'd like to see more harmony between them and me. And when I was thinking, so I thought of someone I know who's having some kind of problems with harmony, and then I thought I could take them out and give them some suggestions about, you know, how to fix that. And then I was being happy that I was going to try this new way of creating harmony rather than the old way of creating harmony. So in Abhidharma terms, what's the old way of creating harmony?
Get rid of all the
people
who are harmonious.
Yeah, well, you know, like, talk to them about they should be more harmonious, or, you know, twist their arms to be more harmonious, or give them lectures about how bad it is to not have harmony. That's the old way, Yutinya Dhimma. Then what's the Namika Dhimma? What's the karmic way? What's the new way? Yeah, I find someone else who's having the problem, the same problem as me, and I help them. And that creates a karmic cost. And then my people straighten out automatically. I don't have to talk to them. And I don't have to not talk to them. It doesn't matter what I do. It's going to work anyway. Okay? I can ignore them, or I can talk to them, and it's going to work. Opposite approaches will work with the same people. Because I have the money to do more. I have the second kind of cause. I have the karmic cause. We do this in BCI. We have people sit around in groups, and you know, they discovered in Russia, I don't know, Novosibirsk, they discovered that the best way to teach people was to ask them, tell me what you used to do to get what you want, and now tell me the karmic way to get what you want. The karmic way is the four steps that you just learned, okay? The old way is like, discuss it with them, try to get more harmony, or don't discuss it with them and try to get more harmony, and it doesn't work. Neither one works. If you make the karmic cost, nothing can do, nothing can do, then no matter what you do, it's going to work. Okay, you can sit at home, or you can call them and text them. It doesn't matter. Suddenly there'll be harmony. Okay, because it's coming from you. Both are coming from you. Lele Jitin Natsuke, right? First pitch that we had. Got it? Please write down now the four steps you're going to do. Okay, at the top of page 4, where it says my own four stomach steps. I'll give you a few minutes, okay? Number one is what you want to happen this in 2014. What do you want in your life, personal life? What do you want? What's the number one thing you'd like to happen? You can kind of divide those into what kind of problem would you like to see solved in your life, or what kind of nice thing would you like to see that you didn't have before. Number two is a person that you know that maybe you could help them with the same thing. That's number two. Number three is where will you take, how will you contact them? How will you help them? Starbucks. On Friday. Personally, I'm going to ask a person I know to talk to them. Okay? That I think they might like to talk to. And then number four. Sometimes you have to do it tonight before you go to bed, okay? You can't yet take joy in number three, but you can take joy in number
Two, you already have a plan. You already made some good karma. If you think about the plan tonight when you fall asleep, then that will fertilize. It will incubate the good karma. Like a mama chicken sitting on the leg. I was talking about these principles in Shanghai, and somebody raised their hand and said, that's just like a mama chicken on an egg. And I'm like, oh God, that's perfect. That's the perfect word to say. So we changed it. I mean, it's almost going to kick out coffee meditation. The mama chicken, I think, is going to kick out the coffee. Right? Okay. All right. Got it? All right. I have a suggestion. We're stopping at 5. It's about 3:45 now. You've been on your butts for about an hour and something. I like to take a break just because it makes everybody fresher. So, are there refreshments? No. Okay, say, Kam Tso. Okay. Kam means dry, Len means wet. Kam Tso means a class with no refreshments. Len Tso is a class with refreshments, which seems to be a Kam Tso. But anyway, you can walk around and borrow people's coffee or something.
Chega lento.
Half dry, half wet. Okay, take a 15-minute break. Come back at 4 o'clock. Okay, come back at 4 o'clock. If you want to come up and say hi, come up and say hi. I'm going to go pretty fast through the next few sections because we're going to run out of time. Page 4 in the middle. If you want to plan a good karmic seed for this year, and I'll get to your questions. So you ask me when I hit the question, that's a move. You go first. Page 4 in the middle. I'd also like to welcome Guadalajara. Thank you for coming. I'd like to thank Shanghai. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. These are some of our overseas groups. And they're awesome. Montreal. Okay. But there's a Dharma cartel in Guadalajara. It's Aldo, his mom, and his brother. So that's awesome. Three good people to help in the middle of page 4. I'm not going to go through it with you personally, but in your quest to get something to happen in 2014 that you want, you can... There are details about selecting the person that you help. Okay? There are three things that work faster, and these are from the Amidama Kosha. First one... if you choose to help someone who has helped you, if you are returning a kindness, if you are showing gratitude to someone who has helped you, that karma is faster and more powerful. So if you have a choice, choose someone who has helped you in the past. Who has helped you more than anybody? It's your mom and dad. And so, frankly, any karma that you do towards your mom or your dad is very, very powerful. Or former teachers, high school teachers. Jimmy, I gotta remember I have a high school teacher who might be able to help us with the mix project in Central Phoenix. But anyway, former teachers, current teachers, but especially parents, okay? First one, you can write that in there, someone that you're paying them back, you see? Someone that you can pay back. Second one, someone is having an emergency. Okay. So, like, I always think of the people that I take care of, elderly people, they have a child who's always borrowing money from them, you know. And so the rest of us are always, you know, don't do, you know, you're 85 years old, I mean, your child is 60, it's okay. There's a statute of limitations with kids, you know. It shouldn't be like 20, they're only 60, you don't have to give up your pension. So like that, it's but then recently this person was going to get kicked out of their apartment. They needed $100 to stay in their apartment. So generally I tell the old lady, you know, don't give your pension money to this person, they should be working. But when there's an emergency, and this person's going to get kicked out of their apartment tonight at midnight, and then the scripture says, if you're the only person who can help, if they're really counting on you, then that counts as an emergency. So, person number two, if you could help someone who's having an emergency, that's even better. Step number, what's the third one, you DCIers? What's the third good thing?
Someone who's helping other people.
Someone who's helping a lot of other people. Okay. So I always had a choice in the monastery. I could give one monk medicine to help him, or there was a French doctor coming here every 6 months, and if I could pay the money for the French doctor to stay for an extra month, then I should, which one should I do? Pay the French doctor, because they're going to help 100 monks. Okay? So if you find someone who's helping many other people, that karma is much more powerful. I'll let you fill in your own because we don't have time. We got to cruise on. Oh, we won't finish today. And the sexy stuff is at the end. Okay. Three ways of speeding the plan. You're at page...
five.
Is it page five?
Yeah.
At the top. Okay. The Tibetan says, Gulong Duche and Yomong. Say Gulong.
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 In China, they go, the Americans go, Gulong.
Gulong.
Duche.
Duche.
Yomong.
Yomong.
These are three things that also make seeds powerful. I'm trying to get you to get your thing for 2014. So I have to give you all the hints that you need, the tips, to make the seed work fast. Okay. Gulong means, how's your motivation? Okay. Like, how is your motivation? Is your motivation strong? Like, it can't be mechanical. It can't be, I'm going to help this person just because they're going to help me get my thing. It can't be like that. It has to be more from your heart. Okay? It has to be, you know, Gulong means you have to really want to help them. Okay? You have to really want to help them. The more you want to help this other person, the stronger the seed will be. That's Gulong, motivation, intention. Okay? Second is called Duxie. Duxie means... familiarize yourself with their problem. Take the time to educate yourself about their needs carefully. Okay? Don't just assume what they want or decide what they want in a pleasant way, in a graceful way. Grill them about what they need. Learn what they need very intimately. Learn carefully what they need. We had a nice lecture by a Christian preacher. Came to our retreat in Phoenix, and he was really cute. He's this young guy, and he's kind of cool. He was wearing a cowboy shirt, and he's big and strong, and he's all got a lot of energy. And he brought this big bag, you know. And he said, "I never met you people before, but I just wanted to give you something. The first thing I came here, I wanted to give you something." And he said, "Geshe Michael, I got something for you." And he gave me like a can of peas, you know. And then he's like, who is that, Adam and Katie? He's like, "Adam and Katie, I got something for you." And he's like, he's got a 25-pound bag of flour. And he's like, "Here's your 25-pound bag of flour." And then he pulls out these old jeans, you know. And there's this lady named Esther in our group. He says, "Esther, for you I got these old jeans of mine. And they're really nice, you know, and I just gotta give you, just, they have a problem in the crotch, so don't wear them right away, you know, like, and, you know, and we're all, like, trying to be polite, you know, like, oh, God, we picked the wrong person to talk, you know, and, you know, we're like, thank you, you know, and then he said, he helps a lot of homeless people, and he said, people come to the homeless shelter at Christmas, with all these toys for the children. And they give them these big,
you know, like these big cars and these big bicycles, and they didn't think these people are homeless. They can't keep a big toy. It'll get stolen or lost, or, you know, he said, give them a little thing they can carry around because they're homeless. They're homeless kids. And he's like, when you give something to somebody, you should study the person first. And then he said, okay, you can give me back the can, and you can give me back the flower. I mean, don't give people stuff that doesn't really help them, you see? And he said, oftentimes people give things because they like those things. You know, like, I often give my mama cheesecake, and she doesn't like cheesecake, and then I have to eat it for her. You know, like, so study the person. Dushi means how you conceive of this person. Dushi means how you conceive of, you know, study their needs and give them what they really need or what they really want, okay? Don't just satisfy your own needs. And Nyomo, what's Nyomo mean?
Negative.
Yeah, or negative emotion. What's the Sanskrit? Klesha. You can actually spell it either way, but Klesha. What's the English cognate from the word Klesha? Klesha.
Holly.
Holly comes from Klesha because it prickles. It's a leaf that has a thorn on it. It's like, hurts, okay? It means that when you have those thoughts in your mind, it hurts. And it makes you uncomfortable. The definition of a mental klesha is any thought which ruins the peace of mind of the person who has it. But in this teaching, in the Abhidharma, klesha doesn't mean a negative emotion. It means a positive emotion. You should do the action with strong feeling, okay, of what? Love, care, joy, okay? Like, if you help this other person in Starbucks and you're like looking at the clock and wondering, you know, when it's going to be over, you know, you take the old lady out to breakfast but you're like on your phone the whole time, you know, with your friends, and there's no heart, there's no love, and there's no compassion or caring for her, then the karmic seed is much weaker. Okay? So try to have these three. Strong intention, I really want to help you. You know, if it's like you want a partner and you're taking somebody, a lonely person out, because you want a partner, then I mean, put all the effort into it that you would put into getting your own partner. And then Dushin means like, listen to them and see what they really need. You know, maybe they want, you know, this kind of partner and that kind of partner. Like, listen to them. Supply what they really need. Then Nyomo means, in this case, Nyomo means do it with some gusto. Okay, like make gusto. Like, you know, like, they're very good at that in Guadalajara. They're like, what? You know, like, what you like? You know. And, have a little gusto about it, you know, like, what would you like, Nick? You know, tell me, you know, like, yeah, that's cool, you know. And like, have some. Don't be like American people. What would you like? Okay. Be like Mexican. Okay. Next page. Is it next page? No. So you fill in the three for yourself, okay? We don't have time to do it together. We're going to go to intention. Then and now. I have never taught this ever. And it's a really cool concept. I learned it in an elevator in Rio de Janeiro from Ken Rinpoche. We got stuck. And that's a funny story. I tricked him into going to Brazil. He never went anywhere overseas except Brazil. And I met some people down there who really wanted him to come. And I tricked him into going. I said we were going to go to the beach. And we did for a couple of hours. And then he talked for like 6 days straight. Even on the way to the airport, he talked. So we got stuck in an elevator, and I was like studying Abhidharma. I said, what is this? Gyuduki Kunlo. Say Gyuduki.
Gyuduki.
Kunlo.
Gyuduki.
Kunlo. And then Deduki Kunlo.
Deduki
Kunlo.
So kulong you already just had, it means intention or motivation. But this is a very difficult idea in the Abhidharma, and I'll just give you a teaser, okay? I'm going to start teaching Abhidharma in April, and it will probably go for 10 or 15 years at Diamond Mountain. The kids are getting out on April 4th, okay? And I thank everyone who helped. We raised $800,000. They ate their way through $800,000 of food. I saw one retreatant whose name starts with P-E-L-M-A. And they were, she's got these bins of food in her house in her retreat cabin. She hasn't seen a human being for 2 years. And I went, she, Jingmi and I went, last weekend? The weekend before. And she's like, got these bins in the ceiling. I'm like, what's in the bin? She said, food. I said, well, what are you doing with it? She said, that's for after retreat. I'm like, okay. Anyway, they're getting out on the, they get out on the 4th, which is a Friday, and you're welcome to come in the afternoon. And then we'll have Abhidharma for 2 days. And we were going to have a 10-day vocational fair, and they said, we don't want it. We know what we have to do. They probably know more internet stuff than I do. So anyway, it'll be 3 days, 4th, 5th, and 6th. It's a weekend if you want to come. We'll start Abhidharma. Anyway, this is a difficult idea of Abhidharma. Gyudu means at the time of the cause. And Taidu means at that time. And it's, so it's very confusing. It's very confusing. You don't know what it's talking about. And Rinpoche gave me a good teaching on it in the elevator in Rio de Janeiro, and it was Gyudu Kikunlo means the motivation that you have before you do something. So in the 4 steps, when would that happen? Huh? When? Yeah, during the plan. Step number 2. They have a t-shirt. He's cheating. In Mexico, they have a t-shirt of all the 4 steps. Everybody wears this t-shirt. They invented a nice t-shirt. You should get one. Talk to them and they help. She's some Majora Taka. It's a nice... They're like on the cutting edge. They always come out with stuff before the rest of it. Guangzhou comes out just after that. She's a nice baby. You still see. We have one. He organized the biggest retreat we ever had. It was 250 people. A couple months ago. Yeah. That was cool. So the babies are doing the best work. Gyudu Kikunlo means your intention before you do the thing. Step number 2. Deidu Kikunlo means the intention that you have while you're doing it and afterwards. What steps would those be?
3 and 4.
While you're at Starbucks, do you maintain your desire to help this person? And then after it's all over, and you've already taken them out for pancakes at the Ranch House Grill by Thomas and 59. Don't you want to go there? It's bad stuff. Okay. Do you maintain your intentions about a goodness which you are doing and which you have finished? Okay? And we'll talk more about it. Because we're talking about, what's the title of this talk? Mama Chicken on the Egg, which is really maintaining your intention after you finish the action already. You know? And that's a big question. What happens? What does it mean to maintain your intention after you've helped the person and they've gone home? Then why would that be helpful? We're gonna talk about it, okay? But we gotta truck on. Here we go. Page 6. I'm going to skip it. You can learn it at the 3 jewels from Hector or John. All right, the 4 powers, right? You know all that stuff. How to stop an old bad karmic seed. So here's the pitch. You collect seeds at the rate of 65 per second. They double in power every 24 hours. You have billions upon billions of karmic seeds. Where in your body? In your inner body, where do they stay? An ahata chakra. Say an ahata chakra.
An ahata chakra.
An ahata chakra. Yeah. in the heart chakra, in a space that, in the Mishibe Tigme, indestructible thought, in a space the size of a tip of a needle. All billions of karmic seeds are there, billions, many billions. Okay? Now, get this. According to Buddhism, you've been alive for countless lifetimes. You have done countless good things and countless bad things. You have done everything to everybody in this room. You've kissed them, you've made love to them, you've killed them, you've nailed them up, you've given birth to them, okay? You've stabbed them to death. Everybody in this room, you've done everything to each of us. You've been President of the United States countless times, you've been Miss America countless times, even the guys, okay? Some. You've been everything countless times. Then you think, oh, America didn't exist before that. Don't be naive. Time is without beginning. America has come and gone trillions, billions of times. Exactly the same America with Obama. But you were president after him. I'm not kidding. Okay, you have been everything. Try to imagine if you roll a dice countless times, how many 12s do you get? It's uncountable. You have done everything in every context because there's been enough time for every situation to repeat itself. Exactly. It's Groundhog Day forever. Okay? You've done everything. Exactly. You've done every single thing that you ever did in your life with the same people, with the same clothes on, countless times. Okay? And because time has no beginning. China. Wrap your mind around it. It's not like 10 years or 20 years. It's countless zillions of years. You've done everything. So in theory, inside your Anahata chakra are the seeds from having done everything to everybody countless times. What would happen if you could isolate the good ones and pump them up, you know, like steroid those? What if you could just selectively take out the seeds you got from, you know, inventing the cure for AIDS in your country countless times, you know, saving countless bees, jumping on the grenade countless times in wars, which you've done. What if you could isolate those seeds and like, fertilize them and put your chicken on them? Okay, so there is a method for doing that. I want to teach you that method. The other seeds will shut down, okay? We can't remove them, but you can shut them down. And that's the four powers. So Hector and John, they have to teach you the four powers. I'm not going to do it. You don't have time. You can shut down the seeds you have from murdering Yeshe Michael and countless times. And I won't hold a grudge. It's okay. Okay? You have done everything to me. And I've done everything to you countless times. Okay? Those seeds we can put into a deep freeze storage. They will never come out. That's the purpose of the four steps. But what I'm trying to say is that every person in this room has enough seeds in their mind to be extremely wealthy and to help all the poor people in the world. Everyone in this room has enough seeds in their minds to have the perfect partner for the rest of their life, or maybe forever. Okay? And like a real angel forever, to live with a real angel forever. And to be in heaven forever. Everyone of us already has those seeds. You just have to water them, okay? That's what we're going to do now. We have like half an hour. Okay. Duchi and Sipa. Say Duchi.
Duchi.
Sipa.
Sipa.
This refers to the second and the tenth of the 12 links of real life. Whoa, what are they? What's the picture?
Potter.
Yeah, a potter. And what's number 10?
Pregnant woman.
Good. Okay. Hector's been teaching this in Latin America and other places. Thank you for that. He also helped me with a lot of images. So the potter means the seeds you planted in your mind way back when you were so kind to countless people. Okay? In your past lives, you were Mother Teresa countless times, you were Gandhi countless times. You still got those seeds in your mind because they doubled every 24 hours in that lifetime. There's billions upon billions are sitting there in your mind. Okay, you just have to wake them up. But they are duche, sanskara. They are dormant.
Okay? They are sleeping. They are dormant. The second of the 12 mates of the wheel of life, called Sanskara in Sanskrit or Nuche in Tibetan, means those seeds are dormant. They were planted and they never incubated. They are sitting there in your subconscious. Countless powerful good seeds. You could be extremely wealthy for the rest of your life if you could reach those seeds, or you could have the most beautiful, amazing partner that anyone ever had if you could reach those seeds that you already have. It means you don't have to do anything. Just put the mama chicken on those eggs and let them sipa. Sipa means 10th link of the wheel of life. Karma, which is about to pop out, okay? 8 months, 3 weeks, karma. Okay? The painting in the wheel of life is of a pregnant woman. She's about to have a baby. She's about to burst open. So we want to take those seeds from number 2 to number 10. We want to incubate those seeds. We want to put mama chicken on those seeds. Is there a method? Yes. Let's do it. Okay, here we go. Next, I have a thing. It says, what's it saying? What's the next thing saying? Come on, we gotta go. What's it saying in English? Mama prana on the seat, okay? Instead of mama chicken, it's mama prana. Why? Get this, this is cool. Lung sam jupa chipa, say lung.
Lung
sam
jupa
chipa.
Jupa chipa.
What's it mean, Teddy? You know? Lung sam. What's lung?
When?
Prana. Wind. Sam?
Mind.
Jupa chipa.
Right.
They ride in tandem. They always ride in tandem. Your thoughts and your prana always ride in tandem. Like a rider on a horse. Which is the horse and which is the rider? Prana's the horse, your thoughts are the rider. Okay? Which is why we do yoga. Which is why we let our meat torture us. Okay? Why? If you move the prana, you will move the thoughts. If you pull the horse into the barn and there's somebody on top of it, they have to go in the barn. They don't have a choice. Okay? All right? If you can move the prana in your body, this is what we did today. I try to get as many people in the audience to come to yoga in the morning as possible because they will be in a good mood in the evening. Their thoughts will be open. Their minds will be open and fresh when I give my talk. So if you're a teacher, try to get them to do yoga, you know, the same day. Because even if you give a stupid presentation, they'll be so open that they'll just be happy. Okay? I'm telling you, secrets of teaching. Get the kids to do yoga in the morning. And then their hearts are open already the whole day. Or do some music, right? Same thing. And then sometimes the rider can drag the mind along. Okay. Sometimes the rider can drag the horse, right? With the reins. So sometimes what can drag what? Thoughts can drag
prana.
Can drag prana after them. How does that relate to making incubating your old karmic seeds? Huh? Yeah, if you think about your old karmic seeds, what's directed towards them?
Prana
goes towards them, and prana heats them up. Okay? It's very weird. Okay, the nature of a seed is called demanduche, neither physical nor mental. One of the few things in the world which is neither physical nor mental. But it will respond to the power of prana. Okay? A karmic seed will respond to the power of prana. If you direct your thoughts towards a seed that you did in the past, the prana will be dragged to that seed also, and it will incubate the seed. So who's the mama chicken? Your prana. Okay? Dragged by your coffee meditation. Got it? Dragged by your rejoicing. The prana is dragged to that seed, the area of the seed, anahata chakra. And the seed will open. The seed will be incubated. Okay? It heats it up in cyclic terms. Okay? The thinking about a kindness you have done
drags prana to that seat and opens it up faster. And that's profound. That's a big secret to life. Okay, you can make weird stuff happen. You can make $250 million company with no training. Okay, you can have the, you know, lifetime relationship with Bhagavad Gita. So stuff like that. Weird things can happen if you know this trick. Okay, got it? It's a cool trick. I'm sorry we have so little time. Somebody had a question. Let's do questions. By the way, just keep that last thing, okay? Imagine if you could drag prana to the anahata chakra and heat up the scene and make it into open faster. John had a question.
I have two questions.
Okay, cool.
First is...
But the second one costs extra.
Okay.
Speaking of cost... Is that a good segue?
Yeah.
Michael? Yeah, that was a good segue. Okay. This teaching is free. The Three Jewels needs money to stay open. You understand? Jingwei, where's my bag?
I haven't seen
it. Yeah, well, take $100 out and put $100 in for me. And I challenge you all to do something close to that's comfortable for you. Okay? Just whatever's comfortable for you. I'll put $100 in. And this will all go directly to the Three Jewels to pay for the bills. This is just a side thing. All right, sorry. Before we were so rudely interrupted by a commercial.
First, thank you for the phenomenal introduction.
Yeah.
How does this framework of ripening karmic seeds fit within the framework of collecting versus karmic sutra? And then,
I'm sorry. Say that one again.
This teaching speaks to focusing on the karma you've collected and ripening it,
yeah,
as opposed to the ethics teachings of collecting new, fresh, virtuous karmas.
Yeah, good.
And so how does that fit?
Yeah, will? Good.
And then secondly, does this idea of bringing the prana to the seeds, is that how Tummo and other such practices purify the negative prana?
Yeah, cool. Nice question.
Great question.
Let's split it up.
I love that question.
Let's split it up.
I'm
remembering
the question.
I always repeat it because then I can twist it my own way. This is an old debating trick. John said, well, you're focusing on incubating old karmic seeds. But how does that tie into creating new karmic seeds? The segue is coffee meditation. Okay? Creation of new karmic seeds is done by the four steps. Shiso, Majora, and Tantra, right? The four steps that I took you through.
Mm.
And that's why I distinguish between Dididikunam and Dididikunam. The motivation you have as you collect a new karmic seed, and the sustaining of that motivation even lifetimes later. And that gets into another subject. Okay, I'm going to pop that on you because I'm really frustrated. We have like 21 minutes left. You can rejoice in things you did in the past, but we can't remember everything we did in the past. You have billions of seeds that you don't remember what you did. How do you, Geshe Michael, how do you select a particular seed? What if I start incubating some really crappy seed that I got from punching out the bus driver, you know, 40 lives ago? You know, like, how do I know I'm going to hit the right seed, you know? I got to be careful which seeds I sit on. This is cool. Deduction from your present circumstances. Okay? If you are sitting in this room today, we said this in Guadalajara, it's true here also. You are 1 in 10 million people. You are 1 in 10 million people. If you made it to the Three Jewels today, I don't suspect this conversation is going on at Starbucks right now, or at New York University, or anywhere else in Manhattan. Okay? I don't think so. If you made it into this room today, you must have collected billions of karmic seeds. You must have been like Jesus 10,000 times on another planet, okay? You are hot stuff. Okay? Karmically, you are way, way over the top, okay? If you made it here, you must have done thousands of intense kindnesses to other people in your past life. So you can sit on those seeds that you don't even remember. Because you own them. Because you're you. That's so cool. That's so cool. I'll tell you something more profound. You want to go deeper?
Yeah!
What's better? Get this. You can sit on an egg that already opened. They do kikuno. After the fact. After the seed already opened. I'm a human already. You can sit on the egg that brought you here at 2:30, even though that's opened and gone already. Okay. If you sit on it, you recreate the egg. Got it?
Yeah.
You sit on those jagged edges of that broken open egg, and it creates a new egg. You want to go deeper?
Yeah!
If you can't remember anything when you lay down to be happy about, be happy that yesterday you laid down to be happy about something. Start a pyramid scheme going. It's a multi-level marketing. You know? I'm not kidding. Why not? Okay? I'm here. I'm 1 in 10 million. Yeah, but that already happened. So what? I'm happy about it. That makes a news feed. Then sit on that one. Tomorrow. It's like never ending. You've been stuck in a never ending samsara for a countless life. You've been suffering because of those principles forever. You might as well twist them around and use them. You might as well turn them to your own advantage. Be happy about being happy. You know, when you lay down at night, be happy about all the times today you blessed. Be happy about all the times you looked at the good things in life. And then you plant more of them. So turn the cycle around on itself. Turn the snake around on itself. Got it? It's so cool.
So is that synonymous with the higher teaching versus sacred teaching?
You mean, yeah, I guess. You could go there. You could go there. I think you could tie it to Dhapa Nyodha, which means the yoga of make-believe. You could tie it to that. The fact that I could imagine that the people around me are angels, if I'm happy about that, I will plant the seeds for them to be angels. How's that? There's something else I was supposed to say.
Two
more. I think you could say that. I think you could say that the inner fire caused by the conscious movement of prana by work on your inner body through various types of secret methods, including yoga, asanas, is enough to burn off all bad karma.
You've always tried to link the four forces of purification of karmic seeds with the channeled methods of purification.
Yeah, for sure.
So with this drawing of prana there would be essentially the link?
Yeah, because you're taking the rider and the horse. Intellectually doing the four powers of the rider. Using Dhumo as the horse. And why not have them together? That's fine. Jinna had I promised her an answer.
Okay.
I mean an attempted answer.
I'm sure it'll come. My question was whether or not we tell the person that we are helping what we are doing.
Okay, I have a suggestion. This is a good question. This is a classical question. So, you know, let's say I have a problem with anger, then according to step number 2, what kind of person do I have to look for? Yeah, I have to look for the most angry person I know. And then I have to go to them and say, let's go to Starbucks. You know, I suggest that you don't say, you're the most angry person I've ever met. And I thought I would take you to Starbucks to help you. Okay? What I tell people is, go to this person and say, look, I have a problem with anger. And I thought maybe you could help me. So let's go to Starbucks. And then you trick them. And you say, let's talk about my anger problem. And then hopefully they'll talk about their anger problem. And then you start to work it out together. So that's my suggestion. It's called upaya. What's upaya in Tibetan? Or English? Skillful means. Tapke. Skillful means not beans, Michael. I'm just kidding. I love to kid him. My lama tortured him for 20 years, and then I took over. Kidding. The other suggestion I have is part of your question is another classical question, which is like, suppose I have financial difficulties. Then I'm supposed to take out, this is a question I got in China, in Guangzhou. Guangzhou people are very smart. This is a question I got in Guangzhou. So somebody said, okay, if I'm having financial problems and I'm supposed to find a person who has financial problems, and I'm supposed to take them out to Starbucks, Shimbaku in China, and I'm supposed to do what? Give them financial advice. I'm the last person in the world that should give them financial advice. Jesse Michael, this is not going to work out. I'll probably mess up their finances. I'm taking them out because I have financial problems. Then how am I going to help them? And then the answer is to the best of your ability. And a lot of that depends on kunlu. What's kunlu? Your intention, your motivation. You want to help them. You're going to get good karma from help, from wanting to help them, and not because you're helping them because you can. Got it? It's just the kunlu. You're just living off the power of the kunlu. Your motivation to take them out and discuss their finances is very pure. Your ability is zero. But you'll still get some good karma from the motivation. Okay? And that will change your financial acumen. Okay. Other question? In the back, I don't think you have a chance.
I have two questions, and could you answer them quickly, because I know it's a lot of time.
I can talk as fast as I can.
Okay, so my first question
Sometimes in a rush to get to class, I have to try to go to the bathroom fast. It's easier to do it with questions.
I think you could go
like,
on.
Just Michael, you have 3 minutes. I'm like... go ahead.
I think you could have a long answer, but if you just, what I'm trying to say is if you just give me 2 sentences, I'll be happy,
okay.
Even if I don't get it. So okay. My first question is, I know it doesn't matter if the other person succeeds or not, that if we just had to have the try and whatever, but what if you really want them to succeed? What would be the karma for that? Like, you just really want them to succeed, and never mind, like, what it does for you or whatever. Is there a special karma for that? And my other one is, I'm just really curious about that. How do they do it from nirvana? I just want to know what...
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that.
Okay,
thanks. So obviously we have to meet again, which is very unfortunate. There's a Tibetan custom of not finishing everything. Then karmically, we are magnetically attracted to each other. We have to meet again to discuss these things. It would be a great pleasure.
How do we plan a karma for someone else to succeed?
This is DCI level 2, okay? Those of you who are interested in DCI. By the way, DCI is expanding this year or next year, probably. We will probably have major investors coming in. We will probably need to hire another 65 people. And if anyone's interested, talk to Scott or me. Can you raise your hands? So we are looking for talent, okay? I'm not just in New York to, you know, enjoy the snow. but if you're interested in... DCI goes around the world and teaches these things to normal people in normal language. Helps them be successful. It's very satisfying. That's where Stan is strongly involved. And all of my friends. So the second DCI level is passion. How to have passion in your life. You know, how to be very interested in what you're doing and excited about what you do, or your relationship. How to maintain passion in your relationship. And having heard the 4 steps, you can tell me.
Oh, no, but I meant, like, say, I already have passion. I have everything I want, actually.
But you want passion in...
I want to see someone else.
You want to give them passion?
Like, you're doing your 4 Starbucks steps, right?
Yeah.
And then... Is there a way, you can't ensure that they will succeed.
No.
But is there a way to, like, increase the chances?
Oh, that's a different question.
That's my question.
Then I'll give you something to think about.
Okay.
And you cook it. Rinpoche used to say that, right? You cook it. What's the third of the four ways in which karma opens and flows?
Environment.
Meaning the people and things around me. Objects and people around me. So, if you have a case where you're running into a lot of people who are not excited about their life, or you're running into a lot of people who are not successful in their life, who's it coming from?
Me?
Yeah, because of the third way in which karma opens. You're exposed to people who are not inspired or not successful, because at some deep level, you still have some seeds for not being inspired or passionate. So you would try to crank up your passion seeds. And then the people around you would change.
And disarm the... Yeah.
And they would change. The other question was about this thing. It says, redirecting how they do it from Nirvana. It's in the middle of page 7. Page 7 is all the stuff we're going to do next time we meet. Oh. Okay? But this one I'm particularly enamored of. So I want to explain it in the 8 minutes we have left. Say, Kuitse.
Kuitse.
Duche.
Kuitse.
Tongzhou Chepa. That's close enough. I studied Chinese for like 2 years. I went to a Chinese restaurant a few days with you in Sedona, and I told the owner, I want, where's the bathroom? And he goes, oh, you want to know where the bathroom is? Anyway, you sounded this thing. This is another Abhidhamma teaching, Volvo. Very cool, old stuff. Kuitse means the life of the body. Ku means body, Tse means, here it means lifetime. Duche means sanskara, second, fresh karma. Currency, fresh currency, duche, sanskara. And Tongzhou Chepa means to redirect it. Okay? Buy and sell, literally buy and sell. Okay? So this is an ancient practice from the Abhidhamma, which arhats specialize in. People who have reached Nirvana already on the Hinayana track in this example are able to redirect their karma. And the classical example is that if someone in the monastery doesn't have the physical things they need, like food or place to sleep on and stuff like that, they can somehow transform lifetime into stuff. They can give up some of their lifetime karma and create beds and food. They can trade in their life hours, extra life hours, and trade it to change it into food karma. And they can take food karma and change that into life. They can do Tongzhou Chepa, means they can buy and sell. So it's a very delicate and controversial idea. And that's Abhidhamma. You know, would it be possible for me to sell some of my lifetime and turn it into food, for example? Something like that. Could I redirect karmic seeds to another purpose? Normally, the first law of karma states, laying up on means... Says what? Yeah, you don't get bananas from watermelon seeds, okay? But, if you become skilled at coffee meditation, as you fall off to sleep, good deeds which you have done in one aspect, like, I don't know, you have been generous to someone who is in need, financial need, right? Then as you fall off to sleep, you can redirect those karmas to meeting a partner. That's Kuitse. Kuitse Tongzhou Chepa. Kuitse Duche Tongzhou Chepa. Is that it's the concept is in the Abhidhamma. With the strong intention, as you fall off to sleep, a kindness which would create a banana can be shifted to a kindness which will create a watermelon. Through the power of intention. Through strong intention. Okay. yet in a way you're giving away one kind of karma to have a different kind of result. Okay? Now that's a heavy idea. That's a very powerful idea. And you know, in theory it's possible. If you have a strong rejoicing practice. If you have a strong rejoicing, the stronger your ability to take joy in yourself, the more latitude you have in where the karma will ripen. And that's the subject I wanted to kind of get into. But I'll just leave you with that teaser. Okay? The stronger your Thanksgiving practice as you fall off to sleep, then the greater your power to shift karmic forces to different goals. And that's sexy. That's super sexy. That's like unbelievable. That would be really cool. Now, last thing. Universally, globally, all over the world, Shanghai, Guangzhou, Guadalajara, Mexico City, Buenos Aires, doesn't matter, Moscow, Kiev. We go all these places and we tell people the most important practice you can do is on your bed at night as you fall out to sleep. Should you maintain the 8-point posture of Varuchana? No, lay down. Should you be careful not to get sleepy during the meditation? No, you're supposed to fall asleep halfway through. It's perfect. Okay? As you fall off to sleep, in Buddhism, in this tradition, Abhidharma really, you are required to fall off to sleep thinking about the nice things you did today. You are required to think about the nice things you did today. Okay? And if there's nothing good from the day, do it for yesterday. And if there's nothing good for your whole life, look at your hand, realize it was created by a billion good karmas, and be happy for your last life who was smart enough to make your hand. And think about how cool you were. And that's all. So what I want to say is that it dawned on me recently that if a practice is true, if it's highly accurate and highly true, then it should be easy, okay? If a spiritual practice is powerful and correct, efficient, effective, then it should be easy. Okay, I mean, people tell you that in tennis, or, you know, if you've got the right swing, it should be effort, you know, it should be minimum effort. Like in yoga, the people who are, like, shaking and going like that.
I love you, Ami.
You know, these people are... they're wasting effort. They're not the real yogis. They look Dharma Mitra, look at him upside down on the sewer lid thing, and he's like, he's not like, you know, and, grace, ease, relaxation. If a spiritual practice is highly correct, it should be easy and comfortable and joyful, and there's nothing more powerful than being thankful as you fall off to sleep for yourself and others, but mainly for yourself. And all over the world, in every country, people come to me. A year later, I come back to Kiev, I come back to Shanghai, I come back to Buenos Aires, and I'm like, did you get the thing that you wrote down on the paper back in February 2014? And they say, no. And I say, did you do the practice of falling off to sleep? No. And I'm like, I just want to punch them. And I'm like, okay. And then they always look at me with these big, you know, doe eyes and say, what do you think I should do? Nimbo said I should have a pocket tape recorder. And when they're asking me that, I should just, and they'll say, there are four steps. First step. And then I just have some tea while it's going. And, no, people all over the world have trouble rejoicing in themselves. I don't know what it is. I'm not talking pride. The scripture says without pride. The scripture says nandyal mehpar, without pride. It means not conceited, not arrogant, but just a healthy appreciation for yourself seems to be extremely difficult for almost everybody. Me too. I lay down and I say, okay, Geshe Michael, time to do what you preach, you know. Let's think about all the good things today. And then I'm thinking, God, this person who works for me, they give me such a lot of trouble. You know, and then my own mind, I can't make it think nice things about what I'm doing. It's always going on to some financial problem or some student who's being dumb. Or not anybody here, but it just, I start worrying. And that's who we are. And you have to struggle to grab the mind and forcefully bring it to something good that you did today, some kindness that you, because all of you are doing extraordinary good things. And you just don't think about it. Then the chicken isn't on the egg. And then the egg will just sit there for a billion years. So sit on the egg, okay? Put the chicken on the egg. I'm not kidding. And it's so fun. Of course, it's pleasant to think about all the sweet things you're doing. You're doing lots of sweet things, so think about them. And then that ripens that karma faster. Just taking prana at them, because you're thinking about them, the prana on the egg makes it open. And then all this nice stuff is happening. And it's such a sweet practice. And then you sleep well, you wake up happy, you get in the habit of looking for positive things all day, and then things become positive. You have one less, it better be good.
It's a general question. The basket never made it over here, and I'm just wondering where it went, because I've been looking and I don't see it.
I think Fran had the basket she was loading her pocket with something. That's a real account.
It never made its way up through this hole.
It went backwards instead of going forward. It's coming.
Okay,
but nobody's using it.
We'll stop.
Oh, okay.
We'll stop there. Okay. Miriam, you want to do this finger thing?